Let's pray together. Father God, we do pray this morning that your Spirit will touch us deeply, that you will show us amazing things as we focus now on your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please do sit down. Well, this morning we're continuing in our series on Ephesians. We've now reached Ephesians chapter 4. What a marvellous letter this is. What a marvellous part of the Bible. Here are just some of the highlights we've seen so far. Do you remember back in chapter 1 we saw how the person who is a Christian, that is the person who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is now adopted to be a child of God. We believe in Jesus, we are children of God, chosen by him to be part of his wonderful family. What a great privilege. We also saw in chapter 2 how before we were Christians, we were not only far away from God, we were described as being dead. Dead in our transgressions, dead in our sins. So dead now spiritually, but also dead eternally, physically, cut off from the presence of God, which is, after all, what we had decided. We decided we didn't want to have anything to do with God, and therefore we'd spend eternity without him. But God did not want us to be left in that state. And so that wonderful verse in chapter 2, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Because of his great love, God sent his Son into the world to die in our place so we could have life. So we were dead, but now we can have life. But we've also seen in this amazing letter how the church is an important theme. And so in the second half of chapter 2 and into chapter 3, we saw how God didn't save us just to be mere believers individually scattered all over the place. He saved us so that we could be one. Described as one nation, fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. A united kingdom. Our united kingdom doesn't seem that united at the moment, but as Christians we're called into this united kingdom, fellow citizens. We're called into one family, the family of God, and into one temple. We are each a stone in the temple of God. And he fills us corporately by his Spirit. So the theme of the church is very important, and this is the calling that we have as Christians. We're called to be part of God's church, his new nation, his kingdom, his family, his temple. And now the language turns to his body, the body of Christ. So let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4. And if you can reach a Bible, it would be very handy if you had it open. Chapter 4, it's page 1175. Verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is our calling? Our calling is to be part of God's saved people, part of his holy temple, his family. And what I want us to do today is to look at what these verses say about what it means in practice to be part of that one body. And basically means is how do we work well together as the one body of Christ? And to illustrate this, I'm going to start by telling you a little story about two teams. And each team was given a task, the same task. They had to climb a 50-foot cliff. And the rules were quite simple. The first team, in its entirety, to get to the top of the cliff, would be the winner. What team won? Got very excited about this, and all the fit young men were so excited they raced off up the mountain without any rope. They were also enthusiastic, and then they got to the top and they had a good rest while they waited for everybody else to catch up. So that is team one. They didn't really do that well at all. It wasn't easy for the rest of them because some were older people, some were young people. Look at this poor chap having to go up there without any rope. It was dangerous. It was a hot day and some people started suffering from thirst. as the day went on. So most of the team did not reach the top of the cliff. Some got part of the way, some were just left hanging about. Some didn't bother helping at all. And in fact, one person thought, do you know what? I think this is a silly way up the cliff. I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to walk the long way round. But he just got completely lost. As you can imagine, team one did not win. They were not a team at all, really. They were a group of individuals doing their own thing. And when people in a team do their own thing, ignoring the folk around, they're not very effective. So let's look at team two, which did a lot better. They didn't rush into it. They joined together and started talking. And first of all, they identified one person who had been a project manager most of his life, an older chap, and they said, you better take charge. And he started allocating tasks and talking about what people were best at. So they said, okay, what do we need to get up this cliff? And one person, the brains of the unit, said, we need rope. Everyone agreed. One lady said, well, I'm not very good at climbing, but I do have some money. Why don't I pop along to the shop we saw, and I'll use my money to buy some rope, and I'll also get some cold drinks. So one of the youngsters went along, and they went to get the rope and cold drinks. Meanwhile, the team kept planning. Who was good at climbing? Who was good at tying knots? So when they came back with a rope, the good climbers went, there's the rope, the good climbers went up, and this time, this team, they took the rope with them. And when they got to the top, they tied the rope, lowered it back down, and therefore the people who are good at tying knots helped the youngsters get tied together with safety equipment, and they all got up to the top. Okay, simple teamwork, really. But it was hot and thirsty work. They had the drinks, they looked after each other, and as a team, they were united in the one cause. Isn't it amazing what happens when we work together as one team? And that is really what this passage is all about, being part of the body, the church as one body. And what I want us to do is really look at three particular things about what it means to be the one body. Verse 3 describes us as this: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're not to be separate people, we're to be united. So the first thing we see is be patient and love one another. We see that clearly in verse 2. If we're to stay united as a team, we need to be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Well, team one, we saw, didn't care much about each other at all. They did their own thing. The children, the old people, were left behind to climb the cliff for themselves. But team two was different. Each member of the team was important. And the church, if we're going to work well together, needs to be like team two, regarding each member as equally important and working together as a team. That means we need to be patient with each other. It means we need to care for each other. And when we do that, it means we can grow to Jesus as a team corporately. But we're going to come back to this important point one a bit later, because it really kind of goes through the whole passage. Let's look at the second thing from the Bible reading, and that is we need to all be united in the one common cause. The church needs to be united in God and the gospel. Sometimes I think we ought to call the church Team Jesus, because it's all about him. He's the one who unites us. We'll see him being called the head of the body a bit later. But one of the reasons Team 2 was so successful is they all had that common cause. You didn't have anyone going off doing their own thing. No, they all were united in that one cause. You didn't have some people not bothering to help, or some people doing their own thing. No, everyone was united in the common calling. Verse 4 of our reading says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So as Christians, we are united together in God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and we're to grow up into him. A disunited church fails to do that. Together we're to grow up in him. Team 1 and Team 2 have the task of climbing up the cliff. We have a different task, and you can see it in verse 13. Our task is to all reach unity, i.e. together in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of all the fullness of Christ. Quite simply, our task is to get to know God better together. How does that happen? Well, verse 1 gives us the foundation for that. We see foundation gifts here. We see God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. This is the starting point. And did you notice how these are all word gifts? They all involve preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. So if we're to grow up together in the unity to get to know God better, we need to be centered on the scriptures. It's God's word. It's the word of God which nourishes us. And it's why we put the Bible center place here at St. John's in the preaching, and we encourage people to be in home groups. Home groups are simply places where we look at what the Bible says. And this is how we grow together. And these foundation gifts are word gifts. So are we going to be united in this one common cause of growing up together in God, growing in God, united by looking at the scriptures together? And the third thing teaches us that we, as we're taught the word, are then to use our different gifts in the congregation to prepare to build each other up. We use our different gifts to help each other. Let's have a look at verses 11 to 13 again. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So just note the role of those church leaders there. It's not to do everything in the church. It's to equip the congregation through Bible teaching to get involved in serving the body. And we all have different gifts from God, and so we're called to use them to help each other to get to know God better. The teaching and ministry you receive from the front, or as individuals in pastoral conversations or in home groups, is to help equip you to play your part in the body. So look at verse 12 again. Ernest and I are here to do what? We're here to prepare God's people, that's you, for works of service. So what different gifts do we have to help each other? Well, here's just a few. I notice some people are doing it with joy. The first one there is somebody joyfully cleaning. That's a very useful task. Or hospitality, helping in the kitchen or at home. Showing hospitality, giving lifts. There's the word gifts. There's listening gifts. But we can think of a thousand others, from helping the churchyard, doing the flowers. There are so many ways we can help one another. It is the church leader's responsibility to help equip all of us for works of service. Because the church is the body of Christ. Each one of us is part of the body, and we all have a role to play. If you have a look at verse 16, you see, from Christ, who is the head, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I love the picture of the body, and I know Paul elsewhere really goes to town on this, explaining how one of us might be like an eye, one of us might be an ear, one of us might be a leg, but how awful if we don't play our parts. If the eye refuses to play its part, well, just close your eyes for a moment. The body can't see. The ear refuses to play its part, we can't hear. If the legs refuse to play their part, we can't walk. And in the Church of Christ, we all have an important role to play. So I wonder, how has God gifted each one of us? Because when we all play our part, the body thrives and we grow up effectively. But let's just come back to this point one, because interesting word is repeated in verse 16, and that is love. The body is to build itself up in love. And also one verse previous, speaking the truth in love. And we can work right the way back to verse 2, which I'm going to repeat. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You see, brothers and sisters, teammates, how are we to use our gifts? We're to use them with an attitude of love, the most important attitude. And this calls for patience, forbearance, it calls for loyalty to one another. I mean, how awful in church when there's a lack of patience. We need to be patient with one another. We need to bear with one another. I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, and as somebody was talking, he came from a church in Bedford, and he talked about when his church grew. The church had been praying for growth, and it happened. And guess what happened? Families with children came in, and suddenly there's all these children running around. And suddenly these people who prayed for this, they thought, oh my word, we're going to have to adapt. They had to learn to bear with the children. But it can work either way. I was talking to another pastor in a church not a million miles away, and they said they've actually got a lot of young people. And when older people come in, they feel almost kind of put out. There's no role for them. And he said, we're having to learn to how to be welcoming to the older generation. It works in all the different directions. So we need to bear with maybe a noise from somebody coughing who's got a chest complaint, or from a child who cries. It's what we do. But this is what we do as a family, isn't it? And when new members join a family, the dynamic changes, and we have to learn to cope with that. But what a wonderful thing when the church grows, when we bear with one another, and we all come to unity in the faith. This is our calling, and it's a calling together as a church. And it's tragic when somebody actually, and there's actually, I'm going to say this, it's a bit awkward, but there's so much commercial Christianity at the moment. There's so many people who will sort of go into a place and they won't support their local church because there's a much better church down the road, or, you know, in Bury St. Edmunds, and we're going to go there instead. And that's very hard, because we're called to support the body of Christ where we are. We ought to find a local evangelical church, one that's founded on the Bible, but we don't have to go too far to do that. And build one another up, bearing with each other's foibles. So what have we seen? We are the body of Christ, and we're to be united as one team. We're Team Jesus. We need to be patient, we need to be loving, and our one aim is to get to know God better. Together, and to make him known. We do it by being taught the Bible and by using our gifts to help our teammates. Back to team two. Wasn't it wonderful? One went and got drinks and rope. Some were doing ropes. One was organising. Some were climbing. Likewise, we should all be involved using whatever gift God has given us so that we together corporately can get closer to God. So are we committed to the team, to Team Jesus, committed to one another? Will we help our friends in the church, maybe those we don't naturally get on with whatever gift we have in love, to achieve our common goal of growing up in God, getting to know Jesus better and making him known? Let me pray. Father God, you have called us to be part of your holy temple. We are joined together. Help us to work with one another in love to achieve that common goal of together growing up into him who is the head and being your united people. And when the world looks upon the church as that united people, they say, God is present there. Amen.